Good morning, Denise. Can you hear us?
Good morning. Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Denise, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Try it one more time, Denise.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Can you hear us? Since the network doesn't work?
Test.
Hey, Y-Coder, can you hear me?
Denise, try your sound one more time.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Okay, we can barely hear you.
I can try switching to my phone. Wait, hang on. Let me see. Is this any better? Not any better?
They're trimming trees out there. Good morning. Yeah, we're missing a, I don't think we have a quorum.
This one is, there's somebody in here, some little try to focus a little bit
no.
on what we're proposing, like identifying right now.
Hey, good morning. Can y'all hear me now?
Okay. Good morning. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty, so we're running a few minutes late. We should get started soon. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, no.
I'll just say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might as well just start.
Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning at the February 16th, 2023 Economic Development Freight Advisory Committee meeting. Thank you for attending. Let's go through the introductions. It doesn't look like we have a quorum this morning, but let's just go ahead and whoever's here. Yeah. So we'll start with you, Michelle.
Michelle Strickland, City of Savannah Traffic Engineering.
I'm Pamela Bernard with Chatham County Engineering.
Brian Herndon, FEM County Industrial Development Authority.
Zachary Dykes, Development Authority, Bryan County.
And if you could please, whoever's online, go ahead and speak up.
Jim Aiello at the airport.
Carlos Espíndola with AECOM, part of the consulting team for the project.
Thank you.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning. This is Denise Korbowski with Symbiosity, also part of the consultant team for the freight study.
Great. Is that it? Do we have anyone else on the phone? All right. Thank you. We'll go ahead and get started. Ned, are you on there somewhere? All right. The agenda includes one action item. Although we don't have a quorum, we'll go ahead and discuss this one. Is approval of the October 20th meeting minutes. Does anyone have any comments or concerns about that? And hopefully, if they did, they sent those to the core MPO staff. So, okay. Should we go ahead and vote on this anyway, Wycota?
We don't have a quorum.
Not really any point. Okay. If nobody's got any comments, we'll just assume that it's good.
Yeah.
We're accepting it. Okay. Thank you. All right. So, moving on, I don't believe we have any other business. Does anyone know of any other business that we need to address? Okay. Moving past that, the status reports is, I think, the main purpose of this meeting anyway. So we'll go ahead and the regional freight plan update. If you, Chris or Wycota, whoever's going to, Chris, please.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thank you. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. I believe I met everyone, but in case I haven't, I'm Chris Lindsay. I'm with Cambridge Systematics. We're part of the consultant team helping the MPO conduct this regional freight plan. We're joined by some of my team members on the phone, Symbiosity and AECOM as well. And so today, Right, and my presentation loaded. Really today, the purpose of today's meeting is really to just provide an update on the ongoing technical tasks as part of the regional freight plan, and also to gather some feedback from everyone that's here, from everyone that's online, on how we are intending to go about identifying and developing our recommendations. So we're kind of moving into that recommendations phase of the freight plan. Much of the technical work has been completed at this point, and we're going to provide an update on some of those tasks that you haven't had a chance to see in previous presentations. And so that's kind of the first half of the meeting. And then the second half of the presentation, focusing more so on what we are seeing as the broad overview of the needs for the region, potential strategies that can be deployed to meet those needs, to address them, and also a draft evaluation framework. These are essentially the performance measures, the different indicators that we would use to identify and recommend projects to meet those investment needs. So, you know, this is our agenda. So the technical tasks that we'll go over this morning, the land use assessment, economic development and market assessment, environmental and community impacts, and from there we're going to move into needs and prioritization. For everyone that's here and those online, there are a couple of interactive slides as part of the presentation. We're going to be using Mentimeter. So if you have a smartphone or another device that's handy, please just take some time to go ahead now to www.menti.com and use that code that's on the screen. And you should be able to, once we get to those components of the presentation, be able to offer some feedback. And as usual, if you don't want to use it and just want to tell me, I have my notepad, my pen, I can jot down whatever, and that works just fine. Just trying to make it easy on everyone. I'll give folks a couple of seconds to load the website. All right, I think we're good. Okay, so update on progress. Just a reminder of the various tasks that we are that are part of the regional freight plan, stakeholder outreach, needs assessment and analysis. The ones that we're going to be focusing in on today are the land use assessment, the economic development, and the environmental and community impact scan and analysis.
Sorry, Chris, would you mind going back to that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I go too quickly? My apologies. Okay, everyone good? All right. So in prior presentations, we had not yet delved into the land use assessment. So this is just a very kind of high level interview, just keeping things brief for the meeting. All of these technical memos, they have draft versions that are posted to the website. The land use is not up yet, but we are working to get that posted quickly as well. But everything that you see here today, if I don't go into it enough detail, ask questions, and we have the draft memos on the website as well to look at your convenience. So with the land use assessment, there are really three main components that we're looking at, documenting existing land uses, understanding what future anticipated land uses will look like, and then using that information to gauge potential impacts to freight and to the region. So for existing, focusing on identifying those existing clusters of freight activity centers. For future, really focusing on where those future freight activity centers might be located within the region. And then impacts to freight in the region, looking at where there might be potential conflicts with residential, environment, or other land uses. So that's really the main focus of that technical task. And to give you some highlights from what we're seeing, one of the main takeaways from that land use assessment is that the amount of industrial and freight related development has very much accelerated in recent years. One thing that came through in the data was from 2018 to 2022, that the inventory increased from 57 million square feet to over 94 million square feet. So that's about 9.3 million square feet annually. And also interesting is that not only has the pace of development accelerated, but essentially the facilities are getting larger. So not only are you seeing more developments, you're seeing larger industrial, larger logistics related developments. And that's going to have a big impact on traffic patterns, on freight in the region. And that's really the main reason we're looking at that type of information. That graphic that's at the top right-hand side of your screen, you can see that's characterizing vacancy rates for industrial properties throughout the region. And you kind of see that spike in vacancy during the pandemic timeframe. But what you're seeing is that that has very much dropped. And you can see that essentially all of those developments are much more occupied now. And with those vacancy rates drop, you can, you know, that's indicating that the demand is there. And you can see that every day as you drive through the region. Something else that was interesting, kind of a main takeaway, is that some of the factors that are influencing land use, particularly as it relates to freight. So the region is continuing to add residents, continuing to add jobs, and that's just going to increase local demand for goods and services, as well as the goods and services that you are serving really, you know, across the nation. And, you know, when we looked at some of the commodity flow data for the region, some information that we got from the TransSearch database is that really you're anticipated to about double the amount of freight in terms of total tonnage that is coming in, going out, or going through the region by 2050. So that's a substantial increase in the amount of freight that you're anticipating. And that's really just kind of a business as usual forecast. If anything changes with the Port of Savannah or some of these other large freight generators, that could very much accelerate as well. The last main takeaway I wanted to point out from the land use assessment, you can see in the data that we got from both the comprehensive plans as well as information from the local economic development agencies that you have these emerging clusters of freight activity throughout the region. I think that historically you've had a lot of industrial development kind of east of downtown along that President Street corridor. You've also had historically a lot of freight related development in and around the port. But what you're seeing now are these kind of emerging centers that are north towards Effingham County, that are west Chatham, Bryan County, and also further south into approaching, but not quite into Liberty County down the I-95 corridor. And so, and I think that with these that we show here on the screen, like we're looking at over 14,000 acres of new properties that slated to come online. And, you know, I think that this is important because it's really going to impact traffic patterns in the region. As you're kind of looking at this map that's here, that cluster that's in Effingham, that cluster that is in West Chatham and Bryan, and that cluster to the south, there's not a lot of network connectivity between those areas, especially if you need to get from that North Effingham County area to I-16 or from that West Chatham, Bryan County area down to I-95. So those are the types of things that we want to keep in mind as we're developing those recommendations moving forward. So that's a high-level overview of land use, economic development, and market assessment. So with this task, we were really focusing on identifying what are some of those regional economic trends that are impacting the region and therefore impacting freight. We wanted to take a look at the region's freight-intensive industries, understand the economic impact that they are having on the region, and lastly, to look at some of the broader, call it macro level trends that might impact freight and the demand for freight over the long term. So this data that you're seeing here, we're looking at employment data. This is historical data as well as forecast data. That's the top half of your screen. The lower half of your screen is economic output, historical data between 2011 and 2021, as well as forecast data. This forecast is being generated by the Remy Transite model. And essentially what you see, the main takeaway is not only have you had kind of strong growth in employment and economic output over the years, you can see that on the left-hand side of the screen with the historical data, but with the forecast, essentially it's projected to continue. So all indicators that we're seeing from the REMI data, information that's coming from the Department of Labor, as well as commodity flow data, there's really nothing that indicates that this is going to slow down. So that's really the main takeaway, that the growth that you've experienced will continue into the foreseeable future by all the indicators that, that we're looking at as part of the freight plan. Also, with this analysis, we're looking at freight-intensive industries. And so by freight-intensive industries, these are essentially industries where freight is essential to their services, where being served by truck, being served by rail is something that's a part of their everyday business. Without it, they can't survive. And these are the industries that we're kind of classifying in that category with agriculture, construction, manufacturing, transportation, and warehousing. And we wanted to take a look at these industries and get a better idea of really what is their economic impact, what is their economic contribution. And I think that this is important because it really helps to kind of make the business case for why this is an important and worthwhile focus area for the region. And when you look at data, again, this is information coming from the REMI Transite model, is that these industries really kind of increased and accelerated their economic contribution to the region. When you look at 2011 to 2021 data, over 12,000 jobs added. So not only adding jobs, but their share of total employment increased from about 16% to 18%. So accounting for a greater share of the region's kind of economic affluence. And then also their economic output increased, so they got more productive from about $11.4 billion to $14.3 billion from 2011 to 2021. So, you know, these industries are, you know, contributing a lot from an economic perspective. So identifying investments that can support that is going to be really important and essential for the freight plan. And the last slide that I want to share with this specific task, we wanted to look at some broad macro level trends that could potentially impact freight and the demand for freight. So those included e-commerce, nearshoring, international trade, alternative fuel vehicles, and connected and autonomous vehicles. Just understanding how these different trends could potentially impact freight. Starting off at the top, e-commerce. That graph that you see at the top right-hand side is essentially the share of total retail sales that can be attributed to e-commerce going back to 1998, I think we have the data. You can see that that share just really accelerates almost exponentially over time. And it's just indicating that people are increasingly consuming goods and services in this manner. And that has an associated impact on land use, right? Because you have to have the distribution centers, the logistics facilities to support that type of economic activity. So as consumers continue on that trend, on the land use and the transportation side, you're going to continue to see the types of industrial land warehousing developments needed to support that. The graph on the bottom hand right on the bottom side of the screen is showing some survey data with manufacturers and how they anticipate making investments over the long term. And really the main takeaway from that is that you have in that very likely to extremely likely category, you can see an increase in the number of manufacturers that are anticipating bringing more production back to America or at least close by. And I think that you've seen that kind of locally with a lot of the investments, Hyundai being, you know, at the top of the list with having those types of manufacturing plants local. And that's going to continue to be a trend to impact the region, one of those things that we want to account for in the freight plan. All right. And the last technical task that we're updating before moving into our thoughts on needs and recommendations are environmental and community impacts. The real purpose of this task is to get a better idea of how freight might be impacting the environment and how it might be impacting different communities. So with environmental impacts, looking at wildlife habitats, safety as it relates to wildlife and freight, and also emissions. On the community side, we're really looking at equity from a freight transportation standpoint, trying to understand where there might be disproportionate impacts to certain communities in terms of safety or freight activity, being able to quantify those impacts as well. And the idea behind that is that if we can measure it, then we can develop some strategies around alleviating it or avoiding it altogether. Key to that analysis of the NPO has an environmental justice plan. We took the information out of that to identify what have been identified as environmental justice communities. Also, USDOT has pretty recently published some information on historically disadvantaged communities. Again, identifying those areas so we can start to tease out of the data essentially how freight might be impacting those communities so we can get some strategies around addressing those impacts. So I'll give you some examples, some highlights from these analyses. With wildlife habitat, we got information from Department of Natural Resources, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to essentially identify where are those critical habitats, where are those parts of the region that you can expect wildlife and really want to preserve that. And we took that information, we overlaid it with kind of more information on freight activity, such as truck volumes, where are the rail lines. In this map here that you're seeing, where are those industrial zone properties, to try to get an idea of where there might be some overlap or where these might be adjacent to some of these areas. And what you can see from it with this particular snapshot that we're showing here is that while there's not as much overlap between these properties, industrial zone properties, and these critical habitats, they are adjacent to them. So potentially you are getting some impacts in terms of that proximity. From a safety perspective, we got crash data from GDOT. We look for crashes specifically that involve freight vehicles and wildlife. There wasn't much there, only about 4 crashes over a 5-year time period. But still, you know, we wanted to check our boxes and make sure that we looked at it. And also from an environmental perspective, looking at emissions, Federal Highway publishes some information on CO2 emissions per mile for interstate highways and national highway system roadways. We can see from that data that generally CO2 emissions per mile have generally decreased over the past few years in the region, but some of that could be pandemic driven. As you know, we kind of exit this stage. We'll see if that increases again. But that's the type of information that we're looking at. The environmental impacts and the economic development memos, they are posted to the website. So again, I encourage you to take a look at them. You'll get a lot more detailed information, but just want to give you an idea of what we're doing. So this one I think is interesting. So on the community impact side, again, like I said, we identified those environmental justice and disadvantaged communities. This two figures that I shared here on the screen, the one at the top looks at the truck travel time index, and it looks at it in historically disadvantaged communities, environmental justice areas, and communities that are neither of those two. This index that we're looking at is essentially a measure of congestion, truck-related congestion. So the higher the index, the more congestion. The lower the index, lower congestion. What you can see is that the congestion associated with these communities is generally higher than what you see outside. So that would indicate to me from kind of a recommendations perspective, if there are certain operational solutions, certain ITS solutions that are maybe centered in some of these areas, that's a good project or a good investment from an equity perspective. The pie chart that you see at the bottom of the screen here is looking at grade rail crossings. About 90% of these crossings are located in EJ or disadvantaged communities. So again, that kind of signals to us from a freight investment perspective, anything aimed at separating grade crossings or improving operations around grade crossings is good, not only from an operational perspective for the region as a whole, but it's also good from an equity perspective because those challenges tend to be concentrated in those areas. So this is the end of my update on our ongoing technical tasks. Any thoughts or questions from anyone in person, anyone online, before we start to move into the overview of the needs, the strategies, and what we're looking at as prioritization factors? No? Okay.
No, it's just last Fossil was here yesterday, and he mentioned some like major hospital development in Bryan County. So can we go back to the land use map? Would you please let us know where it is?
It's right at the entrance to Interstate Center. Number
on
three.
The north side?
Yes, sir.
North side of the interstate.
It's right at the entrance to Interstate Center, so in North Bryan County.
In northern Bryan County?
Well, I guess you're saying that as you go on back west on I-16, you would take a right to Interstate Center, calls the mega sites on the left if you're driving toward Macon.
So are you saying that we already covered in our land use analysis?
So it's right across from the mega site, essentially.
On the other side of the interstate from the mega site. Not on the mega site property proper, but on the other side of the interstate. It's where there's Love's truck stop, right? Right. Kind of over there by the Love's truck stop.
Okay. So we have that area, but we don't specifically call out the other side of the interstate highway, which is, it sounds like what it will sit on. So
So you got number two, the mega site, and so you got on the south side. So you got number three, Interstate Center. So yes.
So this should cover
on number three.
So it's already covered. Okay. Number three.
Number three, Interstate Center.
Interstate Center.
Okay.
Okay.
I know what I'll do is double check the acreage, because I don't know that specifically includes
the hospital.
Or if it's including some other, but I'll double check.
Did y'all carve out part of Interstate Center to locate the hospital? So it's part of Interstate Center. So it's not additional acreage that would be added to Interstate Center.
Okay, part of Interstate Center.
Just, they just carved out a piece of Interstate Center.
Okay, okay. So that acreage is, okay, it's accurate. Okay, thank you.
So Rockingham Farms is not included on the map?
It should be. That's an omission. We are aware of that one. And then that the technical memo, we have it, but we omitted it from this table, I think. Because that's the other development that South Chatham County. So you're right. We need to add that one to the map, but we are aware of it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if you will get technical about it, for Effingham County, where you have number 7 and 8, which is on the right-hand side of Old Augusta Road, from 7, which is the Georgia National Trade Center, as you travel north on Old Augusta Road toward Grandview, which is number 8, there's multiple developments, warehouse developments, on both sides of Old Augusta Road. There's probably 7 million square feet of space planned being built just on that corridor alone. So, and it's happened very quickly, but that's my fault for not giving you more accurate information. But really, between 7 and 8, you might as well put 7A or 7B or renumber them or however you want to. But there's probably at least 7 million square feet of space that's either being planned or being built, and there's probably 3 or 4 million that's being built right now. Effingham has 7 million square feet of spec being built right now. The 19 million that's being built, Effingham alone has 7 million of the 19 million in the region. I think Bryan's got 4 million, and this is just spec, not built to suit. So tremendous amount of spec activity in Effingham, especially on the Old Augusta Road corridor, which is going to have a major impact on freight moving forward.
Do you have the GIS data or the data that you just mentioned?
I can get it for you.
Okay, because we'll be follow up with you after the meeting so that we can get that information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Old Augusta branches off of Highway 21, right at the Chatham County, Effingham County line. Old Augusta is, as a matter of fact, it's directly across the Georgia National Trade Center at number 7. It branches, which you don't see right here because you have your rail. There, it goes up to Georgia Pacific. And so that's Old Augusta Road. And then that
state route?
It's a state route. Yeah, state route. It's a truck corridor. I mean, it's designed, it's a two lane, but the right of way has been set aside for the expansion to four lanes, and the county's is going to expand it about halfway up to Georgia Pacific with roundabouts. We got planned, and then the rest of the four laning will come eventually. But it's, you know, it's got a lot of attention because not only the development, but also, you know, the water intake is over there too. And that's been very highly, you know, discussed because of all the development and the impact on their environment.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a whole nother conversation.
No, thank you. That's really good information. And I believe Old Augusta Road, the county included that as part of like its truck route designation.
That's correct. Right. That's correct. Okay. It's the only county truck route designation in the county because 21's, you know, state and mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Old Augusta is county, but it is a truck corridor.
Okay.
Designed to be widened to four lanes.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, and this, cause, and we'll, revise these, but with this map, I think they're, like you say, things, new investments are coming online every day. And I think with this one, they looked at some of the, I don't think it doesn't necessarily include the things that are already there, but definitely that North Effingham County is one that we flagged as part of the, both the land use assessment and as part of the needs assessment for task two as kind of one of those emerging freight centers. So, really those, you could take these individual points and really cluster them all together into three contiguous areas of Effingham, kind of that west I-16 area, and then south into Belfast Commerce Park and Rockingham Farms, which I'm kicking myself for omitting from this map, but that's definitely kind of like those three contiguous areas that are emerging or newer versus the President Street Corridor and the areas in and around the port facilities. Thank you all. So overview of needs. So all of this information that we're taking from these analyses, as well as kind of the information that was presented at our last meeting, where we focused a lot on kind of safety and a lot of those kind of measures of congestion, the bottlenecks. We were trying to take all that information, distill it down into a discrete set of needs areas. And this is kind of draft what we've developed so far. So the first one being congestion and reliability. When you look at the data for the region, the travel time data, you can see multiple routes that have either high levels of congestion or indicate more unreliable truck travel times. At-grade crossings are prevalent throughout the region, and they heavily impact operations, not just for freight vehicles, but for commuter traffic as well. So we put that into one bucket of needs. The second bucket of needs, infrastructure conditions. So this would be looking at pavement conditions, bridge conditions. By and large, there were not, if memory serves me correct, very many bridges in the region that were rated as being in poor condition. And the ones that were rated as being in poor condition already have projects to address that, to replace them. Though not necessarily on the condition side, we are seeing, kind of low vertical clearances and things like that. So that's part of what we're putting in that bucket. Network connectivity. In that earlier map, we kind of identified that with those emerging centers that you don't necessarily have a lot of good roadway connectivity between them. And we think that that's an important area to kind of carve out on its own because there's only so much that you can do for existing roadways before you have to start looking at new connections between places. So we wanted to kind of look at those connectivity aspects and also from an at grade crossing perspective. I know that there were some projects included in the T-SPLOST that wanted to address some of those grade crossings going forward. That's just going to continue to be an issue. When we had the opportunity to speak with some of the rail operators for the region, of course, that was one that was kind of raised as something that they always look at as well. The fourth bucket we put into truck parking. Part of our task was to inventory truck parking in the region. There have been a lot of recent truck parking developments, but we wanted to call this out specifically because you saw that figure earlier about tonnage kind of doubling over the long term and the projected growth for the Port of Savannah as well. And as you have those volumes, truck parking needs are just going to accelerate for the region. All of that need doesn't have to be met within the region because there are facilities down in Liberty County, further west in Lawrence County and others. But as you continue to see that increase in volumes, it's going to be more demand for drivers to have a safe space to park and have their rest periods or wait on pickup or delivery windows. From the fifth bucket, safety, multiple corridors with kind of relatively high truck crash rates compared to the regional average. So not necessarily corridors that we would say are unsafe, but corridors where they're kind of sticking out from the pack that if there are projects or investments that can address that, safety is always kind of number one priority, addressing that where you see it. And from grade crossings, there are multiple crossings in the region that have experienced multiple incidents. It's not very common for grade crossings. Grade crossing incidents are normally pretty rare. You might see one every few years. So when you see kind of multiple over like a 5-year period or so, those kind of stick out from the pack. So we identify those crossings. And the last bucket, the sixth one, is resiliency. One thing that we did was that risk analysis that we presented at the last meeting. We're looking at the prevalence of flooding events, hurricane events, coastal flooding as well, and seeing the sections of the multimodal freight infrastructure that kind of overlap those zones. So they have some risk to flooding or some risk to being disrupted. So our sixth bucket is identifying those areas and coming up with strategies to either harden them or make the system otherwise more resilient. So if one part goes down, it can handle that disruption with relative ease or as much ease as possible. So these are our six buckets. I want to pause here for a second and ask the group, do these look right? Are we missing anything? Would we recategorize anything? And I'm going to stop talking and let you guys give me your opinion. Right. Okay. And I'm going to keep pressing you on this one. All right. One thing as I'm looking at it now, some of kind of those areas are maybe a little bit grouped under others. So for example, we don't have an explicit equity environment bucket. We kind of can cover that under resiliency. Also, we don't have a specific land use bucket, but that can be covered under other tasks. So one thing I want to ask is there anything from what you saw earlier in the presentation or from the other documents that you think maybe needs to be elevated, not included as a subcategory, but instead elevated as its own explicit need category?
In my point of view, the congestion and reliability is the most important of your six buckets. Not to say the other ones are not as important, but at least from where I sit in Effingham, congestion and reliability is continuously talked about on a daily basis.
And let me just ask this then, the land use, you know, all these new areas that are really growing rapidly, would that that may not necessarily show up on the congestion and reliability, would it? Right now?
Not from an existing measurement standpoint, but from a future year. But even with that, you're right that it wouldn't necessarily, because even with a projection, unless you specifically accounted for that development, and if you didn't know about it beforehand, you couldn't account for it. So some of those corridors where you've seen where those are coming up, if they have existing problems, it could be possible that even forecasts are off and lower than what any future congestion level might be.
Yeah, I guess obviously all you can do is the best you can, you know, but I guess my question is kind of where is that information in here? Which one of these buckets do you kind of throw that in? Is it fall under congestion and reliability and then also somewhat under network connectivity as well?
As we have it now, I think it would be, because it kind of hits multiple areas where, you know, congestion reliability, the truck parking, that's kind of a land use issue as well. And even with the network connectivity, because the land use changes are kind of what's driving the need for network connectivity. But potentially, and that's why I'm kind of asking that, maybe, you know, from your perspective and the group's, that's something that needs to be elevated to its own category.
I guess it just depends on what's easier. You know, is it all captured in here, or would it be easier to just put it in its own bucket, I guess. But that's for you guys. I don't know. As long as you got it in there somewhere, that's okay.
we'll take that as our note to make sure that one is in there. And we'll discuss it more with the steering committee and as a team if it's something that needs to be elevated. But it's certainly essential to all these others. And we can kind of come back to the group before we land on if it's something that needs to be broken out, or just make sure we cover it under one of these existing buckets. Right. And we already kind of discussed this. Are there any types of needs or opportunities that we missed? Perhaps there are folks online. If you have your phones handy and want to type into menti.com using the code that you see on your screen, or any group members here in person. But just again, making sure that are there any types of needs or opportunities that we miss, anything that you don't see here. I'll wait a second in case anybody online wants to chime in or put anything. All right.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Good morning. I'm Les Fossil, in fact, representing.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Les Fossil, actually representing Richmond Hill as just being present. The reason I'm late today for this meeting, starting at 10 o'clock, was a train delay on President Street, where I sat there and I watched the train pull forward and back up, pull forward and back up for 22 minutes. And I timed it. I did not see in the presentation, I actually reviewed this presentation last night, was train length and delay on the track. It contributes to congestion. It contributes to safety. Because as I sat there on the off ramp of, the Truman Parkway, I had actually cars going in between cars trying to get onto Truman Parkway to the south. I had cars that were just going everywhere, and it was like, just sit here and don't get hit. So where in your presentation do we talk about train delays at intersections? And this is, you know, surface tracks. So where is that in your presentation? How's that being addressed? You know, you can call the railroad and tell them, hey, look, you've been on the track for 30 minutes at this intersection, and they say, thank you very much, and it's a 1-800 number, and that person goes away at the end of their shift. So how are you addressing it?
Okay. All right. Thank you for that question. I would say that as with the way that we frame things here, that that would really fall under the network connectivity and the congestion and reliability. I'll go back to that in a second. It seems like some folks are entering in the Mentimeter and show you specifically. But you're right, that is certainly a big issue for the region, and one that we've heard in every stakeholder interview that we did with kind of the county's development agencies, even the, you know, industrial property owners who, you know, have the manufacturing plants, because it impacts them as well if they're going, sending trucks up and down these corridors. So I think that to give you an idea of, so under the needs, it fits into those two buckets with congestion reliability and network connectivity, and potential strategies that we kind of have, at least in draft form at this point, for addressing that would be sort of more technology or operational strategies to manage traffic in and around those crossings. A good example is an ITS project that GDOT pretty much completed, I believe, at this point, looking at Jimmy DeLoach coming down State Route 21, where they have the dynamic message signs that can essentially give you a indicator if a crossing is being blocked. So that type of information, so drivers can make different decisions on the route that they would take. So that's kind of one strategy, just information. And then the second one would be looking at separation opportunities where we have them, taking crossings that have a big impact, and trying to make the case for why it's a good candidate for separation, and identifying potential funding sources to do that. Those would be the two main ones. As far as the length of trains and how long they sit on the tracks, that's completely up to the Surface Transportation Board, and, you know, more regulated at the federal level. I don't think that at this level there's much that can be done as far as what goes on the track itself, but certainly managing the traffic around it and helping to separate those crossings where possible. Does that answer your question?
Provide a solution there. But I understand.
Right.
Is it a federal regulated? Is that FHWA or Federal Rail?
Surface Transportation Board and Federal Railroad Administration. Okay. So as far as the length of the trains and how long they're on tracks, that's pretty much determined at the federal level. But anything that happens at the street level, interacting with those, there are solutions that we can do to mitigate it or get around it, but nothing specifically to say that this train can't be a certain length.
Yeah, well, just to follow up on that real quick, for, I know you were kind of talking in general terms also, I think, but I just want to let you know that specifically we did get some federal funding for a study that Chatham County is going to start here sometime this, hopefully the next 6 months or so, that will study that specific location, President Street at Truman Parkway and that railroad crossing, to try to see what kind of, you know, feasibility study, to see what kind of alternatives we can come up with. And one thing that we will probably consider, I think, is the ITS option to, you know, if because it's going to be a lot of money to try to fix that as far as the grade separation. So that may be a little while before we can get to that. But.
And I'm aware of those projects also, 307, I mean, Highway 307 corridor, Highway 21, there's a lot of, down in Richmond Hill, Highway 144, there's a lot of congestion points. So just thank you.
We also, there's also funding that we have for in Total Mobility 2045. We included a project for President Street. So cost band 3 last time I looked, but it's there.
All right. Thank you all for the comments on that one. So moving on. So those are kind of the broad buckets of needs that we identified. And so here, you know, we are also identifying some potential strategies for addressing those needs. So infrastructure strategies, these are essentially more project specific and general infrastructure strategies, such as like a separation or some other project like that. You know, more capital investment, I guess is a better term to use here. Technology and operation strategies. So these are those that don't necessarily expand the footprint of the network, but better manage what the system that you have. So looking at, you know, maybe certain intersections that can operate more efficiently, looking at ITS and other solutions. And then last, policies and programs. So these are more broad kind of activities that the region could do to address these needs. And some examples that you kind of see on the right-hand side of your screen here with infrastructure increasing capacity, new capacity, technology and operations, signal retiming, access management, incident management, policy and programs, looking at various public-private partnerships, maybe some partnerships with the railroads to address some of those crossings, or even just multi-jurisdiction projects that require various counties working together for corridors that stretch the length of the region. So those are our examples. And some more specific kind of examples. So I'll kind of point out some issues and opportunities and potential solutions. So on the infrastructure side, poor pavement conditions, vertical clearances on bridges, the prevalence of at-grade crossings. When you look at those in a potential bucket of solutions that we could kind of dig into, you know, prioritizing corridors of high levels of truck traffic for maintenance funding would be kind of a potential solution. Or as bridges, you know, approach to enter their useful life, looking at raising those elevations so trucks don't get stuck or they don't have to reroute because they weren't aware of that low crossing. Coordinating with the railroads to improve rough at grade crossings. Those are the types of solutions that will fall under the infrastructure strategies category. Technology and operations side, so issues and opportunities, corridors of high volumes leading to congestion and unreliability, corridors of the high density of driveways, crash rates that are higher than region-wide averages. Those are the types of needs that we want to address under this category of strategies. And then examples of solutions, you know, expanding the number or the amount of ITS managed freight corridors, upgrading traffic signals, closing or separating crossings. And on the policy and program side, really the types of solutions, I would say that a lot of that land use would probably fall under this type of category since it would be more kind of coordination or reforms in land use planning and permitting to maybe encourage development in areas that can better support it than other areas, or limiting conflicts between residential and commercial properties and freight intensive properties, promoting green infrastructure, to limit flooding events and other things that can disrupt the system. Again, just kind of examples of the potential solutions that we'll be looking at under these different categories. And as we develop those as part of the recommendations phases, we'll share them and make sure that all that information gets posted to the website. But this gives you an indicator essentially of where we're headed with this based off of all that information that we've shared to this point. And so last interactive portion of the presentation today, and this can, for those that are online or in person, feel free to use the Menti to complete this portion, but also to just have a discussion around it. You know, what types of impacts do you think these potential strategies will have? Are there some that are lower impact than others, others that might be higher impact that we should be focusing our efforts on? You know, understanding that for Effingham County and other parts of the region, that congestion and reliability is kind of top of the list in terms of importance. Maybe some of those types of strategies you might want to say that's a higher impact potentially than something else. So I'll stop for a minute here, good folks online and in person, to do this one and the next one, and to just generally get feedback from the group on, you know, do these look like the right types of strategies that we should be pursuing? Okay, I think I will move on from this one unless anyone online or in person has yet to give us a response. And is looking like the access management network redundancy. I mean, those are seem to be, and also upgrading signals and new intersection controls, that those are kind of emerging as some of the top areas. So really kind of leaning heavily on that congestion management side and really also improving safety with those. All right, last one. This one covers more of the types of ITS solutions and land use strategies potential that we can be looking at. So kind of information sharing for on the resiliency side, using ITS and operations to kind of alert in case of flooding events or other things that so you can properly prepare for if you think that part of the network is going to be disrupted. An example on the land use side, looking at kind of reforms to meet the growing need for truck parking demand. So this would be more so at the local level, looking at permitting, looking at maybe some of the specifics in county ordinances or development ordinances that govern truck parking to make it such that those impacts are less on the communities while also meeting the growing demand for truck parking. That's kind of an example of what we mean with that one. The last one that you see on the screen, promoting workforce development outreach, that's really more so from an equity perspective. So in those communities that we identified earlier that kind of have disproportionate impacts for freight, coming up with different types of solutions or strategies that might, you know, not only mitigate those impacts, but maybe allow them to better share in the economic benefit in terms of like access to jobs or access to multimodal projects or other infrastructure associated with it. All right. If no one else is waiting online, I'll move on. So we discussed the needs, we discussed the potential strategies that we're going to be looking at. So the last item that I want to cover is essentially a draft evaluation framework. So this part is really about, you know, once we start identifying projects and recommendations, how should we rank them? How should we weight them? How do we determine which project is superior to the others? So this, what you see, this bar plot that you see here was from earlier in the study when we had and it's still up for folks that want to participate, but essentially a stakeholder survey asking what are the biggest priorities for the region. Safety and security topped the list, accessibility, mobility, and connectivity came in second, and so on and so forth. All that stakeholder outreach that we gathered from those interviews, from those, that's the information that we want to use and that we are using to say, all right, how should these recommendations be ranked? And so in addition to that feedback from stakeholders, earlier in the study, we also identified a set of goals, a set of performance measures. What you see on your screen now corresponds to that. So all of these areas essentially correspond to one of the goals that was adopted as part of this freight plan. And all of these bullets underneath correspond roughly to various performance measures that we said that this is what we want to use to track our investments by, to understand if we're really doing a good job to invest in the freight system. And so we took all of that information and we added to it project readiness, because projects that are ready to go sooner than others, we think should get a little bit of a bump and benefit. And we took all of that information and we essentially came up with this table that you see here. So these are draft prioritization factors. So for every recommendation, for every project, we would go through, look at that project, see how it aligns with these different performance measures, these different categories that we have here. And we have an amount of available points. You know, this one can get 5 points for this or 10 points for that. And we would use that to score it. And that's roughly how we would, the framework that we would use to have a prioritized list of recommendations as part of the freight plan. So this is really the last major item that I want to leave everyone with, to take a look at this and see, does it look right? Are we missing anything? Is anything should have more points or less points based off of your perspective? And we can get some of that feedback now. And also because this presentation is posted, you have an opportunity to take it back to your staff and others and get their feedback on it too. Since this is all in draft form at this point and it's, you know, subject to revision based off of the committee's recommendations, but this is essentially how we're thinking about ranking those projects. So I'm going to pause for a minute here, give you guys a chance to look at it, digest it a little, and we can have a discussion around it to the extent that you have some comments, as well as those that are online as well.
One quick question. I was looking at just adding up the numbers on the left, and when you add those up, I guess the total available points, they should match up. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. On system performance, I see a 10, but over total available points was a 15.
Okay. That's an error there. That one should be 15 on that side as well.
I got you. I mean, I was just happened to notice that. My only comment, as much as safety and security is obviously very, very important, I would think accessibility, mobility, and connectivity would be a 25 also. It's my opinion.
Where would be like freight and the bicycle pedestrian like conflict included? Yeah, especially in the EG area, I mean the west side Savannah. So a lot of trucks on the EG communities, there are a lot of pedestrians and people also ride bicycles because people don't have cars over there. So where is that included in here?
So with that one, that would probably more squarely fall under environment and quality of life, looking at annual rate of crashes in EJ disadvantaged communities. So that one would probably more so fall under that bucket. Any other thoughts, comments so far? I feel like some thoughts are percolating over here. And you don't have to give them all today. Like I said, it's posted. Definitely take it back. Take some time to digest it. Everybody has WACOTA's contact information, and mine can be passed on as well. So definitely, if you think of something after you leave here today, don't be shy. Just, you know, give me a call or email and you know, because we want that feedback. And you probably have other staff members or colleagues that might be interested in taking a look at this information as well. So that's why we're putting it out there. It's still draft at this point, and we want that feedback on where we should land.
Just one question. As far as like project readiness, I mean, that's not necessarily to say that project is better, but I guess, I'm sorry, where I'm going with this is, are you going to do like short-term, mid-term, and long-term potentially? Or, okay, because that makes a big difference. You know, the ones that cost a bunch of money aren't always easy to get done right away, so.
Right, yeah, I mean, you're right. And the ones that will have the bigger impact, chance 90% of the time is going to be a big project that, you know, will have to be pushed out to the long-term. Okay, so next steps for us, there will be a virtual forum. March 6th is what it's scheduled for, where we will present. So at this point, we've done quite a bit of engagement with a lot of kind of freight industry stakeholders, people who are really users of the system. We have a public survey that's available as well, but the March 6th virtual forum is really intended for any person that is interested and might have an opinion on what we're doing as part of the regional freight plan. So please encourage colleagues, constituents, everyone to participate in that and give us their feedback. We'll give an overview of, you know, what we've been doing with this freight plan and give them an opportunity to kind of chime in on those needs and potential strategies and evaluation framework as well. As far as the upcoming technical tasks, so a lot of the number crunching has been done at this point. So really, we are moving into that recommendations phase. So that's why it was important for today to present you all with that so you can get a chance to see it, because that's where we're going to now, identifying specific projects, identify different recommendations. And so as part of that, an early step with this regional freight plan was to take a look at all the recent plans that have been conducted, like Effingham County's master transportation plan was recently conducted. The MPO has done a number of studies. GDOT has things that are coming on the books as well. We want to make sure that we account for all of those projects. So I'm pretty sure that WACOTA is going to be reaching out for further documentation, information on those. If you have GIS files or other information that can be shared, essentially, we don't want to make the mistake of recommending something and you already have something on the books for it. We don't want to have duplicates. And also, we want to look for chances or opportunities to maybe enhance recommendations that are already out there, maybe recommendations that weren't made specifically from a freight perspective, but it could really benefit freight. And I think that that's important for identifying that and highlighting it, because it helps to, I think, elevate it in terms of, like, you know, from attention from the state, attention from Federal Highway and others, to really just build the case for certain projects that might really have a good benefit for freight. We want to identify those as well. So please kind of keep a lookout for your emails requesting information on those projects. And from there, we are scheduled to come before you all again in June for the June EDFAC meeting, where we will take this information and have that draft list of recommendations and to ultimately show you where we landed with it and give you a chance to comment on that before everything gets finalized. So that is my presentation for today. Happy to take any questions anyone might have.
No questions? Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Enjoy it.
All right. Thank you.
Good information.
As Chris mentioned, we have posted everything to the CornPO website and the freight plans. Okay. Just open that up. So the presentation files posted over here, and also the technical and the virtual form, you can click on that over here, and the deliverables, the several deliverables. We do want to ask the input from the ADFAC committee members, because the technical memos, the task 2 or 2.7, we have posted them on the website for a while, so please send us the comments back by the mid of March. And the task 4, economic development, task 5, environmental, we just posted them actually several days ago. So you can just send us the comments back by the end of March, and we would really appreciate it because we want to finalize all these tech memos. Thank you.
WACOTA. WACOTA, this is Denise. Can you hear me?
Yes, Denise.
Hi. I just wanted to give an extra plug for the virtual forum that we have coming up on March 6th. WACOTA just showed where that can be accessed on the website. If you would please help us in sharing the word in your local community of the opportunity for members of the community to participate in this virtual forum, We would certainly appreciate your assistance in getting the word out. People tend to pay attention more to things that they receive from someone that they know directly. So please help us in spreading the word. And you can see the PDF flyer that's available there. Feel free to share that and pass that along. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, waiting on me. Okay, so the next item on our list is information reports. Do you want to go through any projects that you think might be? Okay. All right, nothing for cities, fan. I brought my list, and I'm not sure that I have anything that's specifically critical to. I am planning on putting out a contract for clearing on Quaco. I know that's an important road. That should go out very soon, within the next 30 days, to at least get that project started. Little Neck Road, we're still in right-of-way acquisition. And I think that's probably about it that might be relevant for this meeting. Do you guys have any projects you want to talk about? Nope. Okay. All right. Other than that, I don't think we have anyone here from – is there anyone from the public that wants to make a comment at this time? Okay. So then as far as notices, the next core EDFAC meeting is June 22nd at 10 a.m. And unless there's anything else, we are adjourned. Thank you. Yes.